join us online as we stream. You can catch any of our services on Facebook, YouTube, or at www.rdci.info. We might not be able to gather in the building, but you can still get to church. Stream on Sundays at 7:30 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. Wednesdays at 12 noon and 7 p.m. And ladies, catch Women's Bible Study on Facebook, Fridays at 12 noon. Thank you for listening to the Direction for Life broadcast with Drs. Herbert and Marcia Bailey. We'd love to have you at any of our three campuses. In Columbia, join us at 3506 Broad River Road. If you're in Orangeburg, meet us at 990 Willington Drive. In Florence, join us at 1507 West King Avenue. For more information, including service times, visit rdci.info. We hope you enjoy today's broadcast.
Today, Bishop Herbert Bailey continues with Crazy Love.
Verse 16, and then we'll read verse 20 and 21 together. And it reads, "And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us." Let's read 20 and 21 together. "If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother, whom he hath seen, how can he love God, whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God, love his brother also." You may be seated. So now we are continuing with this series that has evolved to the subject of crazy love. Crazy love. Some of you may have heard me say, but I have three nieces and nephews, or really two nieces and one nephew, who live in Cleveland, Ohio. For the last 3 years, we've been going back there for the College of Bishops. And so as a result of going there, I'm able to now catch up with them, those who want to. I ain't going all out my way. They're trying to make a relationship and nobody don't want one. But with my niece and nephews there. But they ended up there because when my sister was about 16, she fell in love with a 30-year-old. Yeah, I didn't make no mistakes. It was crazy, and she was crazy, and she wouldn't listen to nobody. Y'all, don't look at me like that. Y'all got those people in your family. Some of you was those people. Okay? Wouldn't listen to nobody. And then we found out that he was even, she stayed with him through a number of years. And, when that's the sister who died later and had three children together. To this day, I don't completely know if they was married or not anyway. But I thought about this when I thought about this subject this morning. We couldn't say anything to her. It made no sense for her to love him. Everything we knew about him was negative. There's some things that we heard that he was doing or had her doing I won't even talk about. But we do know that there was domestic violence involved. And one time in the middle of the night, we got a call, and my mother and my mother's boyfriend got up, and we drove from New Jersey back to Cleveland, Ohio, to pick up my sister. Drove and got her, brought her home, and she was home for about 3 or 4 days. And guess what? We woke up, and she had gone right back. That's crazy love. Crazy love is when you love in a way that it makes no sense to people. Crazy love is when you love in a way that somebody say, I don't know why he or she would love him. When you know them and know what they've done, the fact that you can love somebody like that. And yet, it's what's really crazy that God loves us. We had nothing to offer him. He had, you know, y'all know somebody now, y'all know I'm a tennis fan. Well, a couple months back, in the first session of Wimbledon, Venus Williams, one of the all-time greats, came up against a 15-year-old by the name of Coco Gauff. And I remember the commentator kept saying that Venus has nothing to gain and everything to lose by playing a 15-year-old. I mean, come on, if you Venus Williams beat a 15-year-old, so what? I mean, you expect her to beat him. She had but Coco Gauff beating her, that was everything to gain. And God had nothing to gain and everything to lose by loving us. But God commended his love towards us anyway. And that while we were yet sinners, he died for us. And the Bible describes God as being rich in mercy. Everybody say rich in mercy. You know, when somebody's rich, they don't run out. Come on, when you're rich, you got more than enough. When you're rich, there's more where that came from. And God is rich in mercy. And even when we mess up over and over and over and over again, he's rich in mercy and he keeps loving us anyway. And so if we're going to love people, we got to get God's love in us. Otherwise, if you are limited to natural love, you will stop loving. If you are limited to natural love, your love will be conditional. I came back, I looked at a show last night that I recorded this week, and the person said, only is why I don't hate him because Jesus won't let me. I would hate him, but Jesus won't let me. Come on now. The fact that you even say that means his love really is not being perfected in you. Are y'all listening to me? So the Bible tells us from 1 John 4:20-21 that we love. You can't say I love God and hate people. The Bible says you are a liar. Now that it raises it up a little bit. He said you can't love God and hate your brother. The Bible says you're a liar. He that loveth God, he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, and say he loved God, that can't happen. He said, because he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can you love God who you have not seen? So the commandment is that if we love God, we got to love our brother or love people also. Everybody say, God help me to love people. Because people get on your nerves. Mm-hmm. Somebody said that. Now, I didn't even know the other stuff you said, but I agree with that. People will get on your nerves, and yet you can't live without them. And yet you need them. And yet you're one of them. You one of those people. You one of those people who get on people's nerves. You may not get it. Some of you even get on your own nerves. Some of you don't even like yourself. You know you don't like yourself because you say stuff like, I can't stand being by myself. Well, if you can't stand being by yourself, why would anybody want to be with you? So even to love other people, you also have to love yourself. So we're talking about getting this thing perfected in us that we love people. And so we ought to be growing in this love, and that love ought to be growing in us. And so I started giving you some characteristics of this crazy love, of this these indicators that the love of God is growing and being perfected in us. And I was supposed to give you 10 of them about 3 weeks ago. I heard Minister Jamal said he's so glad I didn't get to 10 because he could only handle these one at a time. I heard you, brother. He said, he's so glad I'm only getting the one at a time. One is enough. Come on. How many of y'all know any one of these is enough to work on for a lifetime? So the first one we said is that you have patience with people because love is patient and kind. It means you're long-suffering. It means you have forbearance, which means putting up with other people's mistakes. Come on now. How are you going to get married and you can't tolerate anybody's mistake because you did not marry a perfect person, because if you was a perfect person, you wouldn't qualify to be married. Because somebody married you with your imperfect self. Now, I know you can get a wig now to make you look perfect. I was talking to Pastor Marcy about this today. I said, brothers, today, I was talking about this. We were having this discussion on the way to church this morning. I said, brothers, today, I feel sorry for them. I mean, I got mine 34 years ago, 30, when I met her, 1983. Okay, so we talking 36 years ago. I found this woman, and she was fine when I met her and didn't have makeup on. I don't mean no harm. Didn't have wig, no weave. Ain't no wrong with wig and weave. Ain't no, but I'm glad I saw without. Because some of y'all get deceived today. Oh, she's so... I told Pastor Marcy, she's just shaking her head at me. I said, these brothers today, I feel sorry for them because you don't know what's real. And especially we're going to do it right in the church. Come on, we in the come on, you got to help the, at least help the church brothers out. Cause we ain't supposed to see nothing until we get married. Unless we look at your Instagram. Yeah. Just look at your Instagram. Then we can see everything. Mm-hmm. We may not see, but just look at Instagram. Y'all will show everything on Instagram with your saved, sanctified, naked self. On Instagram. I don't know who that be. The saints be in the church. You be looking, is that the same sister go that? What this? Is that the sister in the choir? Come on, y'all know y'all be, see, y'all just mad because I'm saying what y'all be thinking. Tell my Pastor Billy must not know. I know if I put everybody out or off, we ain't going to have nobody. So we got to let folks grow. And then maybe when I preach like this, maybe you say, it's me. That's me you're talking about right there. That's me. I'm going to change that. As a matter of fact, I'm deleting it right now. Good, get your phone out. Take it out. Clean up what you messed up. But I was saying, I told Pastor Marcy, I said, you don't know. Because I saw this, I was skimming through something, and I saw somebody, this woman from Nigeria showing how you fix this wig, and she put the glue on, and I mean, she was busted. She was straight up busted, but she was showing how you put the wig on and put the and you glue it, and then you know how to do the real fast one, and then and she transformed. She looked beautiful. She was gorgeous, but I'm like, no, bro, you need to go back and look to before. I told Pastor Marston, today you'll get married. I'd be like, well, you brother, say, I feel sorry for you. But listen, this look, get you wake up. Can you put your wig on? Put your wig on. Put those eyelashes back on. Put them back on. See, y'all get mad because I tell you what y'all be thinking. I think people ought to know what you get. That's all I'm saying. That's all. That's the point I'm trying to make. Okay, so while you're dating, I'm going to help you out. We're going to do a natural night. You might have to tell a brother, this. I need you to take that toupee off. Can you take the toupee off when we go out this time? All right, come on, let's get going. So you got to be patient with people. Number two, you pray for yourself regarding people. Not just pray about them. Ask God to help you with your issues with that person. Number three, you pray for them. Jesus said, pray for your enemies. Number four, we said last week, you don't retaliate. You don't clap back. You don't seek revenge. You allow God to fight your battles. Now, I'm going to go a little bit deeper there because each one of these is really going deeper, requiring even more of God's love in us. Number five I want to get to today is that you don't talk negatively about people. If you're really growing in the love of God, getting perfected, you don't talk negatively about people. Let me say how I've said this over the years. You sow a shut-up seed. Sow a shut-up seed. In other words, there's some things you could add something to. It's probably best that you just shut up. Because you may have done the same thing. You may have come out of the same thing. You may be doing the same thing. Or you could find yourself in the future in the same situation. Talking about somebody else's divorce. It's the grace of God you ain't divorced. It's because somebody got long suffering with you. Amen. Talk about somebody who whatever. It's just the grace of God that you're not in that same situation. Amen. So sometimes it's best to just sow a shut up seed so you can reap a shut up harvest. What am I talking about? If you won't talk about people, maybe somebody will have mercy and not be talking about you. Boy, I told y'all it's going to require more. Because this is something easy to get caught up in. You don't talk negatively about people. You sow up shut up seed. And remember, I told you how to evaluate whether you need to say anything. You ask three questions. Number one, is it kind? Number two, is it true? And number three, is it necessary? Is it kind? Is it true? Is it necessary? Ephesians 4:29, as we start going through scriptures about this point, about not talking negatively about people when you're really operating in the love of God, because the love of God is not something you feel. Love is what you do. Everybody say, do love. Ephesians 4:29, the New Living Translation, it says, don't use foul or abusive language. Let everything you say be good and helpful. Everybody say, Lord, help me right now. I really need your help. Come on. If I never needed you before, Jesus, when I read that scripture, I sure need you now. Let everything, not something, but everything you say be good and helpful so that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear them. Now, that one scripture alone, if we could filter everything we say and our conversations, particularly about other people, through that, boy, some of us, we ain't gonna have nothing to talk about. That everything you say. And then the New Living Translation says, don't use foul or abusive language. Let everything you say be good and helpful. Foul or abusive language. So when we see most of the time, and the reason why the Lord showed me, because, you know, I came out of a very legalistic church background. So all this meant to us was not cussing. As long as you don't use four letter words, even though I found out a couple of them in the scriptures. Damn and hell is in the scripture. It is. He that believeth shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. But that ain't you. Amen. But so we think of, you know, not cussing, not using four letter words and not using the F-bomb and all this kind of stuff. But we don't think about the fact that many, sometimes your gossip can be foul and abusive. That spreading something that's going to make things worse can be foul or abusive. We just think about cussing. And so, watch this, you may not cuss, but you curse. To curse, which I'll get to in a moment, means to speak negatively about and to speak decrease on, to speak things going down or not going well regarding a person. And then some of us, we cuss and curse. I ain't deceived. Come on. I ain't never met so many believing, sanctified, cussing folks. I mean, what has happened to the church? No, I know what happened. I know what happened. Preachers started doing it. And preachers started doing it in the pulpit. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. Come on. And I understand what we do in moderation, y'all gonna let it all hang out. Romans 12:14, it says, bless those who persecute you, who are cruel in the attitude towards you. Bless and do not curse. Bless those who persecute you, who are cruel in the attitude. Now, some people got cruel attitudes, unfortunately, even in the church. And when the Bible says bless and do not curse, when it says bless, it's talking about our verbiage, our words. Still say good things about them and don't curse them. Not talking about cussing them, cursing, speaking death over them, speaking defeat over them. Okay. And sometimes we do this in a, we try to be spiritual about it. You know, God don't like ugly. Mm-hmm. They're going to get theirs. Mm-hmm. Cause God don't like ugly. But you know, you really cursing them. You hoping that the tired bus on the way to work. Mm-hmm. Here's somebody got fired. She had what was coming to her. I'm surprised you didn't keep the job that long. Oh boy, this is going to be one of the quiet sessions this morning. That's all right. Pastor Dollar prepared me for these years ago. He said, every now and then you're going to have one of those quiet sessions. And then these sessions can turn into quiet series. Bless those who persecute you, who are cruel in their attitude towards you. Bless and do not curse them. This blessing and cursing, again, refers to the words of your mouth. Look at James 3. James 3, starting in verse 8. So James says, listen, we got some schizophrenic Christians going here. We got some bipolar Christians. And we need to get this stuff right. Okay? James 3, 8. He says, now the tongue can no man tame. It's an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. So if your tongue is going to be tamed, you need God's help. Y'all see that? Because in the natural, you can't tame it. No man can tame it. He said, but God can help you. Therewith, with this tongue of ours, we bless God, even the Father. And therewith, with this same tongue, we curse men, which are made in the similitude or in the image of God. So he said, verse 10, he said, this shouldn't be happening. Out of the same mouth proceeds blessings and cursings. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Y'all see that? He said, I know you're doing it, but that's not what we're supposed to be doing. I know we're doing it, but that should not be. Paul would write often, he says, I know that they do this, but don't let that be named among you. Jesus says, you know, he says those in authority in this world, they rule with an iron hand over the people and they exercise dominion over them. He said, but don't let that be among you. Y'all need to really understand this here. All of us need to understand that God does expect us to live differently than non-Christians. We do have a different playbook than the sinners. It is more to this thing than you just having Jesus in your heart. It's supposed to show up in your life with how we treat people. Well, I'm just doing to them what they did to me, but they're not saved. But they don't go the right direction. But they're not the ones who've been hearing this message on crazy love. Some of y'all got away with some stuff a couple weeks ago. But Lord, this message has been, Lord Jesus, driving you crazy. Make you think about this crazy love. He said, this ought not to be. He said, it's happening, but it shouldn't be happening. I want y'all to see that. It's happening, but it shouldn't. So I was thinking about this morning. I thought about this morning regarding the, because I went down into my, I hadn't been home this week, and I went down into my man cave basement, my closet down there. And when I went down there, I looked out in my yard, and I said, well, it don't look like we had much, really a whole lot happen from Dorian. Okay? And I said to one of my former pastors, called us up, last Sunday night, and said, how's things in Carolina? I said, things, we're going to be fine. And I said, well, you know, right in, plus we're in the Midlands, et cetera, et cetera. And I said, well, this morning we took authority over that storm. He said, well, I said, and he said, yeah, you can take all authority, but you know, we got this climate change. And I thought about that this week. I thought about this week. Everything about Christianity is supposed to help us defy the natural. Everything about us getting saved is supposed to help us to not just follow the natural course of events. Everything about becoming a Christian is supposed to take us back to the authority that Adam was created to walk in. We are not supposed to just live the que sera, sera life. Some of you don't know what that means. It means what will be, will be. Well, you know, that's just the way things are. How do they say it? Just the way the cookie crumbles. I rebuke that crumbling cookie. This cookie gonna stay together in Jesus' name. That's just the way. No, no, no. That's not how we live. Well, you know, all, watch this. All children, all the teenagers today getting high. That's just what they do. Watch this. All the girls now have babies before they get married. We don't talk like that as Christians, do we? Even if that's what's happening in the world, we say because I'm saved and because I've given my life to Jesus, I can live above the natural. I can defy the odds. Y'all listening to me? I mean, this changed my life just as revelation that I can be above average. Come on, everybody say, I'm supposed to be above average. You're supposed to be above average in everything about your life.
God loves you, and there's nothing you can do about it. He loves us perfectly and unashamedly. Bishop Herbie Billy encourages you to believe God's unexplainable, crazy love that he has for you. Order this powerful series today on CD or DVD. You may also get the MP3 download. Just call 1-877-798-LIFE or go online to rightdirection.info. Order Believe the Love.
As we continue to socially distance, be sure to stay connected with us online. Stream our services on Facebook and YouTube, as well as rdci.info via the Watch Live tab. Sunday morning services are at 7:30 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. on YouTube, Facebook, and our website. Wednesday Bible study airs at 12 noon and 7 p.m. Friday, women's Bible study airs at 12 noon via Facebook Live. Consider connecting with us as a partner or an iChurch member. More information about our partnership and iChurch member services can be found on our website at rdci.info. For consistent updates and encouragement, connect with us on social media through Facebook at Right Direction Church International and on Twitter and Instagram at TheRDCI. Right Direction Ministries, transforming lives and impacting generations.